Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. If you love great games and a little extra excitement to your day, I got something fun for you. Chumba Casino and I have teamed up to create an exclusive online social casino game. It's called Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's fun and free to play, just like all your favorites from Chumba Casino. And every spin brings 10,000 ways to keep the good times going. Check it out and play for free today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea. When the world was
a time of this and that, I was young. We'll get to the news on Kyle Tucker here shortly. We're going to get to Julian here. We'll set this up with, we had a conversation about Ricky Pearsall surviving being shot, and he's already back in the Niners facility. Some news surrounding that is important. The teen suspect, this is from Adam Schefter, a tweet from him. The teen suspect in the shooting of Ricky Pearsall was charged yesterday, now with attempted murder, assault with a semi-automatic weapon, and attempted second-degree robbery. This is according to San Francisco District Attorney Brooke Jenkins. State law prevents Jenkins from charging the minor as an adult, but she said that if her investigation reveals the teenage suspect should be tried in adult court, she would request a judge rule on transferring the case. So that's the latest on the legal proceedings regarding the alleged suspect in the Ricky Pearsall shooting. Now, we said that maybe this caller, we can bring Julian up now, would retire this particular slogan that's had him suspended a couple times from our show because we hate the slogan. Julian, are you still going to use that slogan now that one of your players has been shot?
Woo! Don't call it a comeback. Trent, sign. B.A., sign. You see what Brandon Ayuk did? He came out and said he could have probably handled it a little better.
Yes.
He was a little more difficult than he should have been. And CMC, he's back. He's practicing again, not to mention, like you said, Ricky Pearsall, a.k.a. 50 Cent. Mm-hmm. Look, it's going to be a good year. We had a really tumultuous offseason, but what's going to happen is this is our last dance, because after this, a lot of people are going to leave. I think Moody's going to leave. I think we're going to lose Greenlaw. I think Diameter Lenore is going to go. I think Huff Hufanga is going to go. We have two offensive linemen that are probably going to want $8 to $9 million, maybe even double digits if Banks can do something good. I just feel like this right here, if we don't win it this year, I just feel like I'm going to be a Cowboys fan.
No, what?
This is our year. This is our year.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
No.
I gotcha.
Not I'll be a good head. Come on, man. You know me better than that.
I really don't.
And I'm not going to say it, but I'll say bang, bang, but I won't say the rest. Have a good day.
That's the worst part of it. And when we talk about Ricky Pearsall, Niner gang wouldn't be the problem. The first part is the problem.
It's not a problem. He was in the hospital for 45 minutes.
That's true. And I said because of the circumstances, he could, if he wanted to say it, it wouldn't get him banned.
Yeah, he had to have said it.
Yeah.
It would have been such a missed opportunity.
Yeah. That's, you know what? I picked the Eagles, but the 49ers fit the profile of a team that if it all falls apart, you should be paying attention to it. That's a team who has a chance because of another Super Bowl loss and the expectations of getting back there again and all the contract disputes and guys asking for more money and eventually getting it. That could be a team to focus on throughout the year because they're expected to be good. And if they're good, you're watching great football. And if they're not, all the narratives coming out of San Francisco about how this offseason distracted the team is another reason to watch. And I think he mentioned Jake Moody, the kicker. What are they going to do, cut him? He's got 2 years. He's including this year. He's got 3 years left. What did he say? Moody? Is there another Moody?
There might
on the
be
team?
Another. There might be another Moody.
Yeah, but Jake,
I also thought that he led off with that. Hey, that's a walk year for the kicker.
No, it's not actually. He's not a free agent until 2027.
Yeah. Okay.
2027.
So that's good. They got him locked up.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there's another Moody on the 49ers you don't know about. Is. It's a nickname he's talking about. Who knows? But yeah, that's another team to focus on them. Could be great for them. Should be great. They got a great team. Or could be a disaster. Now, there is a story way back in February about should the 49ers cut or keep Jake Moody. So maybe So maybe he hasn't lived up to their expectations. Maybe that's part of it.
Maybe he's getting cut.
Yeah.
They're going to tell him to kick rocks.
Like Javon Holland will tell anyone who he doesn't like. Let's get to La Raza. He wants to talk about whatever La Raza generally wants to talk about. What's up?
And first time caller, long time listener.
That's a lie.
What up, Deli Deli, man? Good to have you back, bro. But I'm gonna tell you something, man. If you have to, leave for another week and put us on national, I swear I'm gonna burn down that place. I cannot stand Greeny. I mean, if you have it, you could have put like Sean and Cam for all I care, man. That was the worst week ever, dude.
I don't have any control over that. I can't tell them what to do. Send your complaints to somebody else. I'm just going on vacation.
I know. But besides that, since Julian can't say the infamous quote, does it apply to the Texans too? Because Tank Dell got shot last time, remember, in Florida?
It's true, but the Texans – but I don't think any Texan slogan involves something as awful as what Julian says. Like, what's the Texan slogan? Do we know – what do Texan fans say about their team?
Swarm.
I hear that a lot on the next show. But do Texans fans say that?
Shoot. I don't know. So,
Another interception for Brock Osweiler.
Oh, bang.
Yeah. So if the Texans have something as awful as the Niner gang thing, maybe they shouldn't say it either. But I think Texans fans are better than Niner fans. They haven't come up with something as awful.
So there's also a question in particular to the previous show. How come a lot of people, when you're not around, like some people always indicate that John and Lance are racist? You're like the barrier that kind of defends them. You're like the thin blue line of the John and Lance show.
I didn't know I was going to get that today, but sure.
Thin black line.
Hey.
I mean, that's what it is. That's what he's describing.
He said, I'm a buffer. I'm the one that keeps them from getting killed. Because, hey, look, the black guy on the show isn't offended, so why should you? Is that what you're saying?
That's why I love, like, that guy attacked Lance last week, and that was one of the greatest segments of all time, just letting him light up about, like, oh, man, you guys are white quarterbacks, black quarterbacks. And I'm like, how come it's never when Dell is around, they never talk about white or black quarterbacks?
Well, I think you're talking about Jacob. I heard that part. Jacob has been a more recent caller to that show. And he has said before that it's the time for the white quarterback is over. It's the black quarterback's time to shine. And we've had another caller who will chime in every time the race of a player isn't really the topic of conversation, but he sees John and Lance as people who don't give black players a fair shot, and they're more forgiving of white players. I haven't noticed that, but it has happened before, but not to the extent of what happened last week.
Always on the show, Doug. Keep it up, man. Thank you.
Yeah, it got very somber and very serious late in the call. I don't know, man. It happens. And I don't always take the calls because sometimes we have interns. Now we do. But I can tell by who's calling and the voice. Oh, I don't even know your name, but I recognize his voice. And this is going to be a call about race.
Mm. I didn't expect La Raza to be one of those people.
No.
Turns it into a race.
No. But to answer your question, La Raza, I don't think you're correct. I don't think I'm a buffer for those conversations because I've been sitting there and laughing at those two as they're being berated by someone who questions why they're allegedly being unfair to a person of color and being more forgiving of a white person. Well, we heard earlier today, Lance doesn't take black voices into account, at least when it comes to chicken wings, the lemon pepper variety. If you need context to that, listen to like the last 30 minutes of the morning show. That's the only way I can tell you. That's the only way you're going to be able to get it. I'm not explaining it again. I've already done that earlier in this show. All right. If you want to take us down a relatively weird road, you can do that. You know the show. We'll take any call. We'll talk about anything. Obviously, the number, if you don't know, it's 713-780-3776. But before we go, sometimes you want to make a prize out of your picks.
Yes, sometimes you do. We'll talk about anything. Right now, we're talking about Prize Picks and Dell's Chicago Bears. Yeah, didn't think we were talking about your Bears again, Dell. Right now, what Prize Picks is doing for the entire month of September is one
Caleb Williams passing guard will get you one win on Prize Picks. That's right. It's basically a free square when you're building out your entries. You can put in over or a more on Caleb Williams to throw more than 0.5 passing yard, and that part is going to win, I guess, unless he goes less than 1 yard, which is doubtful. So Prize Picks giving you a free spot on that one, so that way you can add up your money. What I'm doing is I'm pairing that Caleb Williams 0.5 more with a Nico Collins over 1,000 yards on the season. That's right. Prize Picks has season-long long projections that you can do, and really the clock is ticking because the NFL season starts tomorrow. So you got to get those in. Use Caleb Williams to get a free spot when you're building that lineup. Prize Picks is the number one daily fantasy sports app in all of America. That's right, America, the country we're in right now. And right now, you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code MAPES, that's M-A-P-E-S, and get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's code MAPES to Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. Prize Picks, run your game.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are.
No, not really. Okay.
That's Michael Carroll, who joins us on Friday to talk all things pop culture, particularly movies and TV. Now, Sean, maybe we need to have a talk about it. With football season here, should we move Michael to Thursday or leave him where he is? Leave that segment where it is, because we're leading into the weekend. It's our last couple segments of the show, and it's generally going to be a lot of football stuff. Do we move Michael to a different portion of the week? Does that make sense, or do we leave him where it is because we've already set the appointment for it? What do you think?
We can check with
Michael.
What
he can do?
Yeah, see if we can move it around a little bit. Yeah, Thursday. I mean, honestly, Wednesday would be a good day.
It's not a bad day because
that's probably the lull.
Yeah, you know? I'll talk to Michael
about it. It's like an opposite of a hump for hump day.
It's funny. Sean brought that up before our show started. It was like, I can be one of those guys, right?
Yeah.
Just say, hey, guys, how's Wednesday going? Sean's like, oh, you mean hump day?
Yeah, hump day. Got to get over that hump.
What other things would you say that would annoy most of us?
Mondays.
Mondays, right?
Every day at whatever 9:57, I've just walked in. Dell, Mondays. Am I right?
Yeah. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Am I right?
It is 5 o'clock.
You wanna be that guy?
I specifically want to be 5 o'clock somewhere guy.
I don't know how people
don't ask what's in my Yeti, all right?
What do you mean? It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
It's
am I right?
5 o'clock somewhere, Dell.
Okay.
It's 10 a.m.
Okay. You guys are.
It's 5 o'clock.
Yeah, but it's
5 o'clock in like Germany.
Yeah, but it's 10 a.m. here where you live. What do you mean? So you heard from Julian and Larasa earlier. I'm going to give you a chance to potentially meet those guys a little later, if that's something you're interested in, for our listener party. Two guys who we know and love, less so Julian, if I'm being honest. But you might get a chance to meet him, and I'll give you a chance to do that a little bit later. Okay, I did want to get to this. We kept getting distracted by, well, our callers and other things. But Dana Brown spoke on 790 this morning, and he has a new timeline for Kyle Tucker. Or is it the old timeline? This is the quote, courtesy of Brian Lalima. I think we have a chance to see Tucker in the next 3 to 5 days. He's right there on the brink. We're still discussing it, but it'll probably be right back with the big club. So are we now just back to like September 7th? Is that where we are? September 7th through the 10th. Is that where we are again?
It was supposed to be the Cincinnati series. I know they took a day off. How long are they going to be in Cincinnati? Probably shorter than 5 days, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so I think we're back to the old timeline.
Yeah, the old timeline is now.
I don't think he's going to make it into the lineup.
Today or tomorrow?
In Cincinnati.
No. So I'm not going to give Dana Brown any advice. Not my job. But I would say, if I was doing his job, to stop giving dates when Kyle Tucker's going to play. In fact, let Joe Espada treat it like a commitment. We see the lineup. Oh, Kyle Tucker's back. Just treat it like that.
Surprise.
Maybe have Hayes Fawcett. You got to be real deep to know who he is. Make a graphic. Make a Kyle Tucker's back graphic.
Deep fried.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't give updates anymore because you vacillate back and forth. It was maybe around September 7th or first week of September. Then it was maybe the 10th. And now we're kind of back in that 7th to 10th range.
There's even maybe the Cincinnati series.
The most recent one was he could play on Wednesday in Cincinnati or Thursday.
Yeah.
But now it's 3 to 5 days. Stop giving updates, or at least stop giving timelines. Just let the lineup be the surprise, or leak it to a reporter when you know Kyle Tucker's going to be in the lineup. Let Chandler Rome break the news. Turn him into the Astros lineup Adam Schefter. Let him break the news. Drop it. Drop it on Chandler Rome and let him tweet it out. Kyle, guess who's back? Kyle Tucker. And then we move on from there. Stop doing this.
Like mouthpiece for the Astros, Chandler Rome, and a big career pivot.
Maybe, but it's only this. It's only breaking lineup news. Only telling us when the only float that to him. Let him get all his other information in his traditional ways. But if you want to give him a little something for doing a great job or whatever, just hey, we're gonna let you break the announcement that Kyle Tucker's coming back and he's going to be in the lineup today. Stop it with the timelines.
The whole way that they've treated this Kyle Tucker thing. It's so confounding, borderline stupid, I would say.
It's not borderline.
It's pretty stupid the way that they've done this, where the entire time just it was fractured. They just didn't say it was fractured for no reason.
For no reason.
Really, they did it to spite themselves because Dana Brown had to keep answering Kyle Tucker questions and keep lying pushing it back where we know that he had a fractured wrist.
Yeah, the discussion came up this morning, particularly from a couple of tweeters to John and Lance about, I don't really care. They don't need to tell us anything. I'm not upset that Kyle Tucker's not playing. He'll come back when he comes back. I think I'm really more upset about how do I put this in a nice way? I can't. I'm upset about the idiocy of putting this on yourself by having to continue to dance around and give timelines, then update the timeline. Just tell us he's got a fracture when you eventually find out what it was, because apparently we heard Kyle Tucker, we played the sound. The swelling was so much that they couldn't tell initially. That's why they thought it was just a bone bruise and he could play. You know, when you find out he has a fracture, just put it out there. Kyle Tucker is out indefinitely with a shin fracture. And then everyone knows, oh, he's got a broken bone. That takes a while.
Yeah.
We can stop asking them questions about it. Save yourself the time. So you don't have to go week after week, and give them an update about when Kyle Tucker could play. It seems like a waste of your time.
Do they just, like, hate breaking bad news? And so it's like...
And
it's
that's
like,
why all the injury things...
Yeah, it's like telling your parents that, like, you failed a test or something.
You hide your progress report.
Yeah, you're just like... They're going to be super mad when we say that he has a fractured shin, which, by the way, we actually weren't going to be mad. We'd be disappointed, but he's going to end up missing three months anyway.
You had the cover of your team playing well anyway. You had that cover. Just a waste of our time.
It's just such a waste of everyone's time.
I don't know if you want to call it a Friday news dump, but you had the cover of the team was responding without him, overcoming injuries, chasing down the Mariners, and now have a comfortable lead. The Kyle Tucker stuff could have been something where you could treat it like, yeah, he'll be back at some point. We expect him back, but he's out indefinitely. And you know what you treat it like? It's like getting an all-star back in September. And when he's back, he's back. I'm of the mode that don't waste your time. Forget about my time. I don't care. In fact, it's a conversation piece. It's a dumb one that we have to talk about. It's a conversation piece throughout the summer. But for you, just tell him he's got a broken shin, a fractured shin. He'll be back when he's back. Stop all the questions. You don't have to dance around them. And then you can talk about the guys who actually are available.
Yeah. It's not just a waste of our time because you do bring up a good point. I actually kind of helped.
It did help us at least.
July. What else are we going to talk about? But it's such a waste of his time, of Dana Brown's time, to constantly have to give up these updates. Nothing to update.
There's nothing.
The entire time. It was just in the back of his head every time that he went on –
either radio or he did MLB Network interviews or any time he was publicly available and someone asked him about Kyle Tucker. In the back of his head, Dana Brown had to be like, don't mention that it's fractured. And he's definitely going
to
miss.
He's got to remember not to mention it. When they announce officially that, well, they didn't even do that. I was going to try to use, hey, they were talking about their pitchers, and initially they said, eventually they said a pitcher is going to be out for the year. But when it took a while to do that. But once they got to it, you know who we're not asking questions about anymore? Luis Garcia.
Lance McCullers.
Well, we never assumed he would be pitching.
No, but what I'm saying is that they can ramp the, like, both those guys ramped up. Luis Garcia made rehab starts.
He did.
And then they were like, actually, pull the plug. Not feeling it. And then, okay.
It's over.
That's it.
The Christian Javier is probably a better example because he never got to that point. When we found out Christian Javier was going to be – he came back. We found out he was going to be out for the year. No more questions about Christian Javier. Yeah. We know. He's out. He's done. Could have treated Kyle Tucker that way. Not that he'd be out forever as far as the rest of the season. But, hey, broken something. He'll be back in September, we hope. And it's over. But, hey, do what you want. Run your team the way you want. You're winning games. That's all that really matters. Seems like a giant waste of time, though.
It's crazy how – the Astros are still the best team in baseball since, like, May.
And it feels like from on day-to-day stuff that's non-on-the-field stuff, they're kind of incompetent.
They're the biggest morons in the world.
It just feels like that, but the play on the field suggests otherwise. They're doing something right, but the front-facing PR stuff, talking to the media, feels like they could be doing a much better job handling things. But, hey, go win games, and it won't matter. And that's what they're doing right now.
And this is the team that the Mariners that you cannot topple.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's some really intelligent person running the Mariners media relations stuff and instructing their now new interim manager how to act, how to say things. But he's got to be looking to the Astros going, what the hell are we losing to down there? Well, what you're losing to is Alvarez and Altuve and a remarkable pitching staff who's found a way to overcome injuries,
and
which
Ben
you
Gamble.
Have not been able to do.
Ben Gamble, too.
Ben Gamble. Can't leave Ben Gamble out.
I'd be sick to my stomach if I was every other MLB fan. Just like, these guys? I guess most MLB fans don't know
the day-to-day happenings. Yeah, they wouldn't even
just
know.
Just like, we don't know the day-to-day happenings of any other
Yeah, maybe
MLB
the
team.
Mariners are incompetent, too, when talking about injuries.
I seriously doubt it. This is pretty bad stuff that the Astros... Not bad, it's just stupid.
It's weird and...
it's just stupid. I don't want to use...
You're saying, I don't want to say stupid, but it is stupid. I just don't want to say it.
It's not they are stupid.
No, they're not. How they're handling
the
this thing is stupid.
This is stupid.
Yeah, I don't think there are a lot of stupid guys running the Astros, men and women. I just think this particular thing, how they handle injuries, could be done much more efficiently, and they would be much better off. But, hey, the news now is Kyle Tucker will be back maybe sometime between the 7th and the 10th, and we'll see if that timeline needs to change. But he's close. Look, it's easy. Treat it like he's a recruit. Like I said, no updates, no news. He's handling his recruitment the right way. He's not making a lot of noise, then bang.
Tweet out an emoji.
Kyle Tucker's back. Yeah.
I think they should have, like, Joe Spada tweet out an emoji or some slogan, like, the day before Kyle Tucker comes back.
To get everyone hyped up, and then the announcement gets made the next day.
Like they do in college football where they kind of tease the commitment.
Yeah, that's what they should do. They'd be much better off. But, hey, the team's winning, and that's what matters the most. We've got a couple more segments to go. I hear a caller. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776. But let's do this here. I mentioned a chance to meet some of the listeners you hear on the air. If that's not appealing enough, you can certainly meet some of the people who regularly do shows. And that's because our 2024 Listener Appreciation Party is right around the corner. It's that time of the year again where we thank you, our loyal listeners. So you join the broadcast, editorial, and management team from ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 for an evening of food, drinks, and fun at the home of Gal Media. So right now, caller 5 to 713-780-3776 wins a pair of tickets to our ESPN Listener Party for a behind-the-scenes look at where and how your favorite shows and videos are made. Didn't win? A limited amount of guaranteed admission tickets are still available and includes food and drinks. Head to ESPN975.com. So you can call in and get those tickets. You can also head to the website and try to get them there as well. Caller 5, 713-780-3776. We will be back.
broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
As I was reading the copy to try to give you guys a chance to win those tickets, something got cut off. As I mentioned, if you don't win, you still got a chance to go to ESPN975.com. And go get your tickets there. Just go under the promotions tab to secure your tickets now. If you use promo code LAP15, it's $5 off. So check it out. Still got a chance to get tickets to the listener party. And we're going to be giving away tickets throughout throughout the lineup leading up to the event. It's going to be a fun time. Always a fun time. And I think this time the building's going to keep the air conditioner on throughout. Or not turn it off, then turn it on. Because a lot of people show up, it gets hot. So for those who have experienced it in the past, I think we have all that taken care of. You should be good to go. Should be a good time. Anthony, we see you. We'll get to you here in a little bit. Sean's doing some logistical things with the ticket giveaway. So I can't put you on, and Sean isn't available. So I'll get to you when we come back. In fact, Sean's back. He's done what he's had to do. So let's get to Anthony. He wants to talk UH. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Bill? I called earlier today about the Donovan Smith awesome pass. Yeah, I'm not the guy who played with him on NCAA. I haven't got that game yet.
Oh, someone else. Okay.
I got, save money. But, like I said, my hate comes from that awesome, magical play that he threw, like the worst out route that me and my wife went outside after I cried in my popcorn bag and started trying to throw and replicate that pass, and neither her or I could do that. So it was just an amazing pass. I don't know how he's possibly still quarterbacking for the U of H, but, yeah. I know his offensive line was bad, but it was no excuse for him to be that inaccurate throughout the entire game. I think he completed one good pass down the field to his little person receiver who, ran for, another 50 yards because nobody keep up with his little legs. But that was the only highlight of that game. So, and I'm a small person, too, so that's why I can make fun of that small receiver because I'm only 5'6". So,
okay, understood. Understood.
I'm not only a 6'8 guy talking about small guys.
No, understood. I'm only 5'9". So, yeah, we're in that realm where we can actually maybe take a shot at him. Yeah, Donovan Smith was not great, as Anthony has alluded to. Only 15 of 31. And he did not throw a touchdown. The consolation touchdown came from the backup quarterback. And I'm trying to find – he's calling that kid the guy the little person wide receiver. He is small. I think his name is Makai Muse. He's listed at 5'8". He looks smaller than that on the field. I don't know how tall he is in real life, but that feels like a college listing where he's probably maybe in Anthony's range where he's 5'6". He's their starting punt returner, and he had their most productive day from the wide receiver position. It was tough. It was a tough day for the Cougs. A lot of people, when a new era rolls in, you have maybe unsubstantiated confidence, an unsubstantiated belief that things are going to be good early. And you had UNLV coming into town. Little did we know, and I'm sure a lot of people did not know, that UNLV is actually one of the contenders for the Mountain West. Now, Maybe Boise State's the number one because of Ashton Genty and what he did over the weekend. Had a big day running the football. But UNLV is not a team to kind of brush aside, despite where they come from and their football heritage. And they showed U of H on Saturday night.
Sure, UNLV is can we get to play that defense?
Yeah, that Boise State defense. Yeah,
Boise State
didn't get many stops, yeah. The running back, they don't want to play. The defense, they do want to play.
Yeah. If we're going to do a Boise State quick thing.
Didn't talk about it, but he had a historic day running the football. But the defense,
they needed
every yard and touchdown from that kid.
Every single yard.
Yeah, because the defense was not interested in stopping anyone. You have a Mountain West opponent coming in named UNLV. You expect to play better. You expect to have a better result. Just didn't happen that way. And I know because there's a new coach, it's he'll be fine. I don't know that. It is a step up from Tulane going into the Big 12. Willie Fritz is a good coach, but good coaches have failed at Power 5 stops. There's no guarantee.
Yeah, shout out to Billy Napier. You also got next on the Cougar schedule? Trip to Oklahoma.
I gotta go to Oklahoma. Yeah.
Yeah. That's tough.
This year is not how we're going to judge Willie Fritz. I mean, he may have, I'm not saying he did it, but the team may have lost a chance at one of the few, like, okay, that's a game they should win on the schedule, losing to UNLV. Clearly, it was a game that we overestimated their ability in. But year one, whatever. If Dana Holgorsen left them in a really bad spot, so be it. But at some point, it won't be about Dana Holgorsen anymore. And will Willie Fritz have them in a position where they can compete in the Big 12? I understand him being a good coach, but that doesn't mean anything. It's a different type of team you have to recruit, different type of teams you have to go up against. There's no guarantee.
Yeah, yeah.
You're all in the hope and pray, not pray, hope and you have high expectations or for what he can be. But I did hear a lot of, he'll get it together. It's his first year. That's not a guarantee at all.
Yeah, it's not a guarantee. But I, of the guys that I would bet on to figure it out at the spot he's at, I'd bet on Willie Fritz. He did do it at Tulane. And if we want to be real, being at Tulane versus being at U of H in the Big 12 isn't a drastic step up, especially when you think about the level of athlete that you will have more access to as the U of H coach.
You would hope, but you do have an influx of different teams from a power conference that you hope strengthen the Big 12, if you're the Big 12. Arizona's, I don't know if they'll be good in the future, but they're good now. Utah, as long as Kyle Whittingham is there, they'll be good. So, you lost Texas and Oklahoma, but you did add at least two teams that are pretty good right now, and they were coming from Power 5 conferences, and they will have Power 5 athletes, and they will try to continue to have them. Of course, Arizona State's around, and Colorado as well. So, Willie Fritz is a good coach.
Also, Willie Fritz went 4-8, 5-7 his first 2 years.
It took a while. It's Tulane. It did take a while. So, you hope if it's going to be bad early, he follows the same path that he did at Tulane, where once he got going, he really had it going. It's just, I just kind of cringe at, he'll figure it out. You don't know that. There's plenty of evidence from other coaches we thought were good that did not figure it out when they took a step up. It's just how it is. That's why it's so tough to do it. That's why a lot of programs don't want to take the chance. They want to hire someone who's established. It's hard to steal, quote unquote, steal a Power 5 coach and bring them to your school. But it's the way a lot of teams want to do it, because they have clear evidence that that guy could do it at the same level.
You know who did that with the last coach they hired?
Who?
Stole a Power 5 coach from someone else.
The Cougs?
Yeah, Houston Cougars did that with Dana Holmes.
And how did that work out?
Exactly.
Yeah. So he'll be ready. He'll understand the Big 12 because he left and now we're going there again. No. There's no – just hope.
I'm sure he understood the Big 12.
Just didn't matter.
Hey, he knows who's – well, he maybe knows who's in it, but didn't matter.
So I don't want to –
hell, UCF's in here?
See, it's a couple new schools joined, certainly. I hope it works out, but – and Willie Fritz has enough on his resume to suggest there's a chance and maybe a good one it works out. But we're going to have this – it'll be a conversation for 2 to 3 years from now. What happens this year, you just hope you see progress, particularly from guys he's identified that he wants to bring into the program. And then you hope he continues to find guys year after year that turns over this roster to one that can compete. Because right now, it was a roster who couldn't compete with the Mountain West school, at least in game one. Maybe in game 12, if they saw each other again, it would be different. You do need better play from your quarterback, 15-31 with two picks and throwing to, according to Anthony, a little person. Ain't going to get it done.
Yeah, those are the guys by year two or three. You hope you don't have very many little people wide receivers.
Yes, and I don't know if he classifies as a little person. He's listed at 5'8", did look smaller than that. You just hope in the Big 12 you don't have your starter being 5'8", and he's your dual receiver and returner. Unless he's as fast like Xavier Worthy or something, or Tank Dell. That guy's not Tank Dell. He's not. That's all.
Okay. Okay. I'll take your word for it.
That's all.
That guy's not Tank Dell.
He's not.
Tank Dell wearing a mustache playing in a
no, there's football game? Nothing resembles Tank Dell. Nothing in that guy's play resembled Tank Dell, except he was wearing a Cougar uniform. The only thing. Okay, we got one more segment to go here. If you want to get in and bash a local quarterback, you can do that. I guess. If he made you throw up in your popcorn, call in about it. We don't care. One more segment to go here before we wrap it up. But before I do that, let's talk about MyBookie one more time. We know football is back. It's in full force in college football. It'll be back tomorrow with the NFL. And, of course, this weekend. And MyBookie is giving you a chance to do something risk-free. This season, MyBookie has incredible promotions like their weekly risk-free boost on Thursdays. You can use it tomorrow with the Chiefs and the Ravens. You can bet without a sweat. If your bet hits, you win big. If it doesn't, forget it. MyBookie will refund your wager. That sounds pretty good. They're also giving away hundreds of thousands of dollars in prizes with their Super Survivor and Squares contest. Just join in now for your huge shot at huge cash rewards. All you got to do to get started is go to mybookie.ag and use that promo code BET975 to claim some of that extra cash on your first deposit. MyBookie bonus options make it easy to deposit with crypto or with credit. The bigger you deposit, the bigger your bonus. And just remember to also check out their new loyalty program called MyBookie Plus. The more you play, the more you win. It's kind of really simple. Just climb through tiers of the loyalty rewards program to unlock even more epic promotions, exclusive giveaways, and bigger rewards. MyBookie is the lock of the century. Remember, bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Okay. Will Anderson is practicing. See him out there. There's a picture. Aaron Wilson took a picture of him in that Guardian cap and his pads on, at least his shoulder pads on.
Okay, in pads.
He's in pads. Just like the rest of his teammates, and according to Adam Wexler, who's, I believe, out there as well, he thinks he'll, at least when we see the initial practice report, he'll be listed as limited. So, we are taking steps to having one of your starting defensive ends back on the field. Will Anderson out at practice today. First step to him actually playing on Sunday. So, him and Danielle Hunter, we expect that to be a great combo. You have Derek Barnett as depth for the first couple weeks, and then eventually Denico Autry will be back, who I imagine will be playing inside and outside, depending on the situation. So that's good news. See, Will Anderson is back. We'll see what D'Amico Ryan says. Well, you'll hear it later in the day. We'll be done for the day, but you'll hear D'Amico later, and he'll tell us kind of what the status is. He'll probably say, Will's fine.
He's fine.
He's fine. He's good. And
look
then,
at him. He's so fine.
And then we'll see the practice report. I imagine it will still be questionable. If we had to give him a designation today, now he has a couple more days, but at least he is out there on the field. Another guy who is out there, he's not going to get money this offseason. I mean, at least this season, I don't expect. But probably, depending on how he plays, those conversations will start to build going into next offseason, is Derek Stingley. And I bring him up because another cornerback has gotten paid. Patrick Surtain got a big deal from the Broncos. He was in the draft class that preceded Derek Stingley, and it's always about who's up next. It's been that way this year for the wide receivers. Some guys got their money. Jamar Chase is still waiting for his, and it may lead to him not playing in week one. Derek Stingley, during my week of vacation, got a new agent. Did you guys talk about him getting David Mulligetta as his agent?
I think maybe we mentioned it. I don't think we really broke it down.
Dove deep into it.
No.
And really the only thoughts I have about it is the Texans have experience dealing with David Mulligetta. He is known to be an agent who will extract anything and everything he can. And at least in Deshaun Watson's case, got all of it and still made it very difficult on the Texans because he wanted out because of some alleged, let's say, disrespect when it came to the coaching hires. Deshaun apparently didn't want it more input. They told him he was going to get input. He didn't get the input, then said, I don't want to play here anymore. And his agent helped him do that. Now, we know he's a Brown, and now people are talking about that as a worst trade, at least on one side in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, because Mulligetta
He got the deal with the Texans.
He got the deal with
the
Browns.
He got the trade and the contract from the Browns.
So, fully guaranteed, which means he is not someone to play with when it comes to the negotiation. So, Derek Stingley has him. If you're a player, I get it. You've seen the results.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure he also represented Jalen Ramsey. I know at least on his – when Jalen Ramsey was getting traded from the Jags to the Rams, Mulugeta was Ramsey's agent. So Ramsey – or not Ramsey. Mulugeta, he gets his clients what they want.
And this time next year with the way that – well, not this time next year, but maybe in March of next year, we're probably talking about – if we look at what Surtain got, $96 million, $77.5 million guaranteed. Stingley doesn't have as many accomplishments due to being obviously in a younger draft class and also being injured. But if he produces like he did in 2023 and 2024, we're probably talking about upwards of $100 million overall and over $80 million guaranteed. That's probably the number that Mulugeta is going to ask for and say, my guy's up next, pay him like one of the best corners in football. And by the way, it's going to be the dueling corner offseason because Sauce Gardner up for a deal, could be up for a deal too.
Who's his agent? Is there going to be a agent on agent, corner on corner? Or is it Mulugeta has both of them? I don't know what he can do with that.
Yeah.
But he can really be cooking something.
So it'll be interesting if the Jets and Texans are willing to make deals happen either next offseason or sometime during this season. Because if you're Sauce Gardner's agent, you're like, that man has like 9 games of being a good corner. I've been a great corner since I was drafted. I'm available. I play. Yeah, my interception numbers aren't the same. But I'm out there, and I'm locking guys down.
So 4 years, 105? Is that good?
It depends on who signs first. And Sauce's agent isn't Stingley's agent.
Okay. I think for Stingley, what he has to do, just stay healthy. I think if he stays healthy,
if he
plays 15 games, he's beating the Surtain contract. And
should he be beating the Gardner contract? Because to this point, we'll see what Sauce does as far as ball production in 2024. Stingley's been more productive getting his hands on footballs and getting picks. It all depends on that. Those are valuable, but so is covering a guy and locking him down. Now Stingley's going to add that plus the turnover creation.
I think it'll kind of depend for the Sauce versus Stingley contract. It might honestly come down to the Jets of it all and what their situation is. How desperate are they to get the deal done? Either they're really good or I guess if they're not really bad, but they're disappointing, but Sauce has a good year. That could also be the Jets. Well, we got to do something to get the fans back on our side. Yeah, we'll lock up Sauce. We have no intention of having this bleed into training camp. Actually, now that I talk it out loud, the Sauce thing will definitely bleed into training camp.
Yeah,
I think so too. I think Stingley gets signed. I don't know.
I don't think Sauce Gardner
in April.
I don't think unless they blow him away. I don't think Sauce Gardner is signing his deal before Stingley does.
Yeah, I think Sauce, and again, some of this is just the Jets. I think he misses some training camp.
Well, that's, yeah.
That feels like a real chance of happening. Really put my money on it. I bet he misses some training camp.
Yeah, that feels like, I wouldn't call it a lock, but there's a good shot of
it's
that.
It's the cornerback Ayuk.
Yeah,
that's what he's doing.
Now they have the club option. They can use a fifth-year option on him, but that didn't matter for Jamar Chase, where after last year, he still had 2 years left on his deal because of them exercising the club option, and he said, I still want my money because he wasn't getting paid very much in 2024. Now, Sauce in 2025 is going to be making 1.1 as far as his base salary, and that's what Jamar Chase is fighting. So despite being able to put him under that fifth-year extension or club option, fifth-year option, I don't think it's going to matter. The way things are going right now, that club option doesn't mean much. The guys are still going to want their money, even if it's 2 years out. Jamar Chase has set a standard for that. And particularly if the Bengals cave in, other guys are going to look at that and go, okay, we'll do this too. So, Surtain gets a lot of money. the couple corners who are next in line, one of them resides in this city. And as Sean said, if he plays the way he played last year and stays on the field, a big deal is coming Stingley's way. And it could come earlier than you think, because the NFL is, at least the players are changing the way they think their contract structure should go. Yeah, whatever, 2 years. So what? I've been underpaid for 4 years now, or 3 years going into my fourth year. Let's make up for it right now. It's a new day, and it's just dependent on the teams themselves to either cave or not to cave. And we'll see where the Texans and the Jets land in that regard.
I trust Caserio over Joe Douglas.
Understandable. Things have gone quite well recently for Caserio. Joe Douglas, not so much.
No, not so much.
Not so much.
Who's the defensive end that they have that just still hasn't shown up that they traded
for?
Hassan Reddick. Again, Derek Stingley, I feel pretty confident that he's going to miss some of training camp.
Derek Stingley or Sauce Gardner?
Or Sauce Gardner. Sauce Gardner.
Yeah.
Less so with Derek Stingley. I think Stingley kind of gets it just... I mean, like the Nico thing, where it kind of just gets done quietly in the middle of the summer. Or not in the middle of summer, but, you know, not at the start of free agency. Just
yeah.
Eventually, you get to it.
I wonder what the Texans are going to do if Stingley comes call and asks for money when they will exercise their fifth-year option. And he's like, so what if I had 2 years left? Like I mentioned, Ja'Marr Chase... wants his money now. So that'll be, I think, the one contention. Not that they don't want to pay him, that they may push back on giving it to him earlier than they think they should.
And I feel like the Texans would get it done early, though. Like they did with Nico.
Yeah, I don't think they want to get into a real dispute. But yeah, they do have Mulligetta to deal with.
And they'll probably have some cap space rolling over.
Sure.
So I feel good about the Stingley thing.
And I don't have any space left to talk because the Killer Bees are up next. Not the Killer Bees. Come on, and Georgia are up next. Follow them. Sean's like, I'd be done for the day.
Three more out.
Yeah, tough work we do here. Gallant and Georgia up next, followed by the Killer Bees. I'm sure those guys, as I set the agenda for their show, we'll talk a lot of Texans, and the Astros are going to get going here too. Spencer Arrighetti on the mound again, trying to back up another good performance. Sean, since we're done for the day, what does that mean?
We did it!
We did it. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.